Hello again. Now, the virus that is named after a well-known Mexican lager brand continues to hold the headlines as cases flourish in China and now elsewhere, even on cruise ships. Not a single mention, though, in the surgery this week, thankfully. Well, thus far anyway. It all seems so distant from these calm shores. Indeed, if anything, the whole process has just reinvigorated the focus on simple, hygienic procedures such as hand washing and common sense techniques that help reduce the risk of transmission of airborne viruses. Only time will tell what the immediate future holds, of course, as the island's health services make ready for the possible arrival of such an unwanted, albeit tiny, set of viral guests. More familiar are the coughing, wheezing patients who continue to arrive. Loaded with the more immediately resident viruses and bugs, it's still around. It's much less prominent, though, number-wise, than late last year, but nevertheless, we're still fielding regular cases of what we term community-acquired pneumonia, mainly via meds and A&E, but some in the surgery too. Meanwhile, on the horizon, we've just had a statement from the MHRA, the Medicines Healthcare Regulatory Authority, concerning the now familiar phenomenon of vaping. They suggest medical staff routinely inquire about e-cigarette usage, and if any adverse side effects have arisen, then consider noting these in the well-travelled path of what we know as the yellow card scheme. Simply put, how does any responsible authority that is tasked with monitoring and recording any new medication or process once it's out there in the community become aware of any emerging issues unless somebody actually reports it? And we have this yellow card things. In the olden days, used to write them down on these yellow cards and send them off anonymously. Nowadays, it's all done online. Of course, we've had a lot of experience with most licensed medications as to gain a suitable license. These have to undergo a most rigorous sort of examination. Over-the-counter products, however, are in a different league. Including e-cigarettes, as clearly these items are not looking to seek licensing under any sort of medicinal tag. However, regulated these products will be to allow them to actually gain a product license in the first place. To this end, then, and as reports start to arrive from the United States, in particular concerning vaping-related lung diseases, it seems that now there are certain things we may need to start becoming au fait with. At the moment, there are no firm diagnostic criteria for vape-associated lung diseases. This is all pretty new. But we've been given some initial screening questions we may need to ask, such as if faced with a person who's been having sort of chest symptoms, which perhaps aren't obviously explained by, for example, an infection or exposure to dust or something like that. Have they regularly been using e-cigarettes over the past month? Have certain lung field changes that we can see in an x-ray, a chest x-ray, can they not be explained by something else? Maybe not. Or have other sort of simple explanations been excluded? Time will tell, but no doubt vaping has become established, and it's widely felt, of course, it's still significantly safer on the available evidence than smoking per se. We'll slowly develop knowledge of what may present unforeseen lung reactions by e-cigarette usage. It makes sense, of course. Inhaling anything bar fresh air is not what your lungs are designed for. Hence reactions and sensitivities, probably person-to-person specific, as with any such disorder, will become more and more commonplace, understood, and subsequently responses and advice will inevitably follow. That's just the way it works. It just takes time and a bit of experience. As they say, what happens over there, the United States or Asia, will in time happen here. A bit like a certain virus. Until next week, cheerio.